Hello, and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. I'm Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and today I'd like to talk about SWR. The importance of SWR, maybe misunderstandings about SWR, and the effect that it has on the performance of your antenna. Now, if we use a simple dipole as an example, a dipole fed in the center has a low impedance feed point. Now, this will provide an adequate match to either 50 or 75 ohm coax. But that dipole in the real world, when it's situated maybe a quarter wave or half wave above the ground, will have a low impedance feed point, but that impedance feed point will vary according to how high it is above the ground, whether or not it's horizontal to the ground, whether or not it's an inverted V, whether or not there's trees nearby, are there any buildings nearby, any sheds, any other metallic objects. If you're surrounded by the houses and buildings, it will have an effect on the feed point impedance of that antenna. Your coaxial cable is 50 ohms. So if your dipole is somewhere around about 50 ohms, you'll have a match that's more or less 1-to-1. However, quite often this is not the case. So you cut your dipole to length, cut it to formula, and you put it up in the air, and maybe let's just say it's 30 or 40 feet in the air, about 10 to 12 meters in the air, and you feed it with your 50 ohm coax, which goes back to your radio, and you have a match of maybe 1.5, 2, 2.5, even 3-to-1. And quite often at that point, you either use maybe an antenna analyzer to see exactly where the dipole is resonant or the best match, and you might cut the antenna to suit. And of course, as we discussed in some previous episodes, the length of the electrical length of the antenna can vary depending on whether or not it's solid enamel copper wire, maybe around about 2 millimeters diameter, or if it's a plastic coated or PVC coated wire, then the electrical length will be different to what you may have cut to on a formula. So these are all things you've got to take into account. Well, let's just consider that you have a low impedance antenna and you have a low impedance feed line, and obviously the output from your radio is 50 ohms. Now, you may have a mismatch. The antenna may be, say, 100 ohms at the center, or it might be 50 ohms but have capacitive or inductive components. So it will be a complex impedance at the antenna. And this can create some problems in terms of the SWR and the reading of the SWR. Now, in practical terms, with most modern radios, an SWR of 3-to-1 can be coped with quite easily. And although an SWR of 3-to-1 sounds quite high, it's interesting if you take a look at exactly the effect that an SWR of 3-to-1 would have on your transmitted signal. So let's just take that example of the dipole. Let's presume it's a 40 meter dipole and it's around about 40 to 50 feet in the air, maybe, you know, 12 to 15 meters up, and you have 100 feet of coaxial cable feeding that antenna. And let's just say that you have an SWR of 2-to-1. So there's obviously a bit of a mismatch somewhere. But if you take a look at the figures and run the calculation on 2-to-1, the difference is not quite as great as you would think. Or a lot of people think anyway. So the loss on that 100 foot of RG213 coax on 100 feet or 30 meters of RG213 coax on at 7 megahertz, the match loss is 0.5 of a dB. So even if you have an SWR of 1-to-1, you will still lose 0.5 of a dB between your transmitter and the antenna. That's the match loss. Now, if you have an SWR of 2-to-1, the additional loss for SWR is 0.114 of a dB. So the total loss, even including the SWR, is only 0.631 of a dB. Now, you need to try and put this in context. One S point is around about 5 to 6 dBs. If you double your power from your transmitter, your signal will increase by 3 dBs. By having an SWR of 2:1 on 40 meters with 100 feet of coax feeding the antenna, you will only lose an additional 0.114 of a dB. So on that basis, providing you can match the coax at the transmitter, then probably it's not really worth worrying about. Now, this comes back to providing you can match the coaxial cable, the complex impedance that appears at the rig to the rig. And most modern radios have inbuilt antenna tuner, or you might have an outboard antenna tuner, but an SWR of 2:1 is not really going to present you with a problem to match, and that will keep your transmitter happy. You'll get full power transfer from the transceiver to the coax, and then you've got this very, very slight loss, 0.114 of a dB between your transmitter and the antenna. Now, that's not going to make any difference to anything at the other end. Nobody is going to notice 0.114 of a dB. It's negligible. So I think, okay, well, I can live with the 2:1 SWR. Can I live with the 3:1 SWR? So if you run the figures again on a 3:1 SWR on the same antenna, 40 meters, same feed line, RG213, 100 feet or 30 meters of coax between the rig and the antenna, the match loss on the coax is still 0.5 of a dB. That won't change. That would be there even if the SWR was 1:1. And the additional loss for the SWR being 3:1 is now 0.3 of a dB. 0.3 of a dB. Again, I don't think it's really going to be noticeable. And the total loss then becomes 0.8 of a dB with the match loss added to the SWR loss. So this is on 40 meters. And that's a good indication of how even an SWR 3:1 on RG213 coax is not really going to give you a problem with your transmitted signal. There is nothing anybody at the other end would notice about your signal being 0.3 of a dB lower than if you had an SWR of 1:1. Where the problems start to occur is where in the shack at the radio, for whatever reason, that mismatch can't be matched. You don't have a good enough ATU to match the difference in impedance and the complex impedance to your radio. Now, the term ATU or aerial tuning unit is a bit of a misnomer, really, because if you're trying to convert this complex impedance to 50 ohms to keep your rig happy, what you're really doing is you're really just matching the line. You're not tuning the antenna. There's nothing about what you're doing in the shack that tunes your antenna. So it's not really, it shouldn't really be called an ATU at all. It should be called an antenna matching unit. That would be more appropriate. And most ATUs or antenna matching units, whether they be within the rig or whether they be external, will match a 3:1 SWR. And that also applies to the current range of solid state linear amplifiers. Most of them have an inbuilt ATU or an AMU, let's call it. And that will match normally 3:1 variances on the SWR. So as you can see from that example, it doesn't actually make as much difference as you would think. Now, the interesting part of this is if you say, well, let's take a 20 meter dipole. Let's run the same figures on 20 meters, because obviously as you go up in frequency, the losses increase. So if you go up to 14 megs, 20 meters, and you have a 20 meter dipole, and You feed it with 100 feet of the same coax, RG213, 30 meters length. And you have a 2-to-1 SWR. So the additional loss with the 2-to-1 SWR on 20 meters on 100 feet of coax is 0.154. 0.154. It's not a lot. The match loss, on the other hand, the loss of the line is 0.741. So that's much higher. The loss of the line is much higher than the SWR loss. Now, 0.741 is not a huge amount, and the SWR loss of 0.154 is negligible, and you've still got a total loss, even if you add those two together, of around about 0.9 of a dB. Again, probably barely discernible at the other end. I would very much doubt if that's going to make a difference. So let's say things are worse with your 20 meter dipole. Let's say you've got an SWR of 3-to-1. The match loss on the line is still 0.741. That's not going to change. That's the loss associated with RG213 at 14 megahertz over a distance of 100 feet or about 30 meters. That is the loss figure. You can't escape that. The additional SWR loss is 0.4. So even with a 3-to-1 SWR on 20 meters, the additional loss from SWR is only 0.4 of a dB. Again, I really don't think that will make a difference. And providing you can match the complex impedance on the coaxial line in the shack, it's fine. Now, a lot of people chase a 1-to-1 SWR because they think unless they've got 1-to-1, nothing's going to work. But really, it's a myth. And obviously, as you go higher in frequency, it becomes more of an issue. You get up to 28 megs. Let's run the figures on 28 megs. Just let's have a look and see how that comes out. Okay, so if you go to 28 megs, 10 meters, and you get 100 feet of coax, and you've got a 3-to-1 SWR, the match loss on the line, that's the loss that the line would have irrespective of the SWR, is 1 dB. And the additional loss for the SWR is still only 0.5 of a dB. That's a 3-to-1 mismatch or 3-to-1 SWR on 28 megs. So, as you can see from these examples, it really doesn't make a huge amount of difference. And if you go the other way, if you go back to say 3.5 megs, let's have a look at that. 3.5 megs with, so 80 meters with a 3-to-1 SWR, 100 feet of coax, the SWR loss, the additional loss is 0.2 of a dB. Again, if you've got an 80 meter dipole and you've got up to a 3-to-1 SWR, providing you can match that loss or match that coax, that complex impedance on your coax in the shack, then really there's probably not too much to worry about. Now, I think where some of the problems set in with this is that in the past, people may not have had an antenna matching unit or an ATU in the shack. It may not have been built into their radio. They may have had a linear amplifier, maybe even a solid state linear amplifier that would only operate into a one to one load. And then it becomes more of a problem because obviously the transmitter will not work as well if it's not seeing one to one. That's where the ATU or the antenna matching unit comes into its own. That's really very much designed to keep your transmitter happy, keep everything running nice and cool, prevent any large voltages occurring at the rig end if you've got a high SWR. But these days, with the way the technology is and the fact that most people are using some form of ATU or some form of matching unit in the shack, then it's really not too much of a problem. I've got two radios here. I've got a TS590S and I've got an Icon 7610. Both have a built-in ATU. I've got an Expert Linear. I've got two Expert Linears actually. Very nice linear amplifier. Both of them have the ATU built into the unit, and both of them will cope with up to 3-to-1 quite easily. So it's really not too much of a problem then that keeps the linear happy. If we would try to, if I try to run these solid state linears without that antenna matching unit and with an SWR 3-to-1, then I would have a problem. I'm not a problem with the SWR loss, but a problem with the linear not being able to cope with that. Prior to these linears, I had a valve type linear with a traditional Pi network tuning arrangement, and actually that coped quite well with SWRs of 2-to-3 or 3-to-1. It really wasn't a problem. It was a traditional way to match the coaxial line to the linear or the radio. So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's a myth about SWR, but I think it's a misunderstanding about how much you would actually lose. Now, there are other things. There's another way you can look at this, and you could say, well, look, I'm still not happy with that loss, so I'll have a remote ATU or matching unit, and I put that at the base of the antenna, so that the run of coax that has the SWR mismatch on it is much shorter. So if you had your antenna tuning unit or your matching unit halfway between the shack, your rig, and the antenna, then you've only got a line length of maybe 50 feet or around about 15 meters of mismatched coaxial line back to the shack. But that's really not going to save you much. It might save you 0.1 of a dB on 40 meters. And I can't really see how that's going to make any difference to anything. Obviously, if you're running a different type of antenna, if you're running a doublet type antenna with open wire line, which has a very high impedance on some frequencies, then things get a bit more complicated with what you choose to do in the shack, because you can't obviously match a very high SWR in the shack, nor would you want to. So you may then choose with an open wire line type arrangement to have a balanced tuner remotely, and you tune that antenna remotely, and then you bring the coaxial cable from the antenna tuner back into the shack. But some guys run the open wire line straight into the shack onto a balanced tuner, do all the matching in the shack. And you can do that. I've done that myself. It just presents some normally more mechanical type problems trying to feed open wire line through walls, and it affects the balance of the open wire line, which is not a good thing. But on an open wire line, you can have a very high SWR. You can have an SWR of 20 or 30-to-1. And because the line loss is so low, with it being 600 ohm impedance, hypothetically, the actual overall loss is still very low. So it's quite an efficient way to feed an antenna, providing you have a unit, a balanced tuner or matching unit, that can in fact transform that impedance back to 50 ohms. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about transforming impedances. The other way to get around the SWR problem on the line to the shack is to use stub tuning. And this works quite well. This involves cutting normally lengths of 50 ohm coax with a T connector to specific lengths to nullify or to cancel out the complex impedances that are seen maybe at the antenna itself, or maybe at a point along the coaxial cable. And I've used these myself. I've used these at the base of the tower, and then run the coax back to the shack. And then obviously the coax that runs back to the shack has basically got a 1-to-1 SWR on it. And the coax that's going from the stub tuning arrangement up the tower or the mast or the tree or whatever it is to the antenna still has that SWR resident on the line. But unless you're running very, very long lengths of coaxial cable, then some of these things are not really going to be a problem. Now, we could, with these calculators, with these coax type calculators, you can plug in any parameters you want. I'm just using 100 feet or 30 meters as an average, but obviously if it was a longer length, you will have more match loss and you'll have more SWR loss. And probably just to give an example on that, I can just run the figures on that and just have a look at that. Let's take the 40 meter dipole with our 2-to-1 SWR, and we're losing 0.1, 1, 1, 0.114 in the SWR and match loss is 0.5. If we increase the line length to 200 feet or around about 60 meters, then the match loss on that line becomes 1 dB. So it's proportional. It's you double the line length, you double the match loss. It's still only 1 dB and that's 200 feet of coax, 60 meters of coax. And the SWR loss is, the additional loss for SWR is still only 0.2 of a dB. So it's really not that significant on most of the HF bands in practical terms. It doesn't have an effect on the antenna performance per se. It's not about tuning the antenna. And if you model the antenna, you can do some experimenting with this on putting different feed lines onto the antenna in the modeling program. You can put a 50 ohm line on, you can put a 400 ohm line on, 500 ohm line, whatever you choose, and you will notice that the characteristics of the antenna do not change at all. The only thing that changes is the SWR on the line back to the transmitter. So the SWR is not an indication of antenna tuning, it's an indication of a mismatch on the line. And so we've just pointed out, the mismatch doesn't actually create as many dBs lost as people like to think it might. So certainly wouldn't make a huge difference, providing you can match the impedance in the shack, which these days most people can. It's really simple. And even if you buy a radio or a transmitter that doesn't have an ATU or a matching unit, it's easy to either build one or it's very easy to purchase one that will suffice for what you need. So that's a little bit about SWR. Most of the antennas that I've built over the last 40 years, most of them have not had a one-to-one SWR. I mean, some of them have. Some of them I've spent a lot of time and effort trying to get a one-to-one SWR. And then there's the point of diminishing returns. I mean, if you get anything down under 1.5 to 1, you don't really need to worry about it too much after that. The difference between 1.5 to 1 and 1 to 1 on any type of antenna system is really going to be negligible, providing that the rig in the shack is happy. So it's kind of interesting when you're building wire beams and you're modeling them, the effect of the extra elements on the beam does quite often have an effect on the feed point impedance of the driven element. So if you take a typical wire beam antenna, whether it's a two element wire beam or whether it's a three element wire beam, and you've got the driven element and you place a reflector behind it and the director in front of it, the proximity of those elements will change the feed point impedance of the driven element. And there's ways you can get around this. You can look at different sorts of matching systems at the feed point if you're really obsessed with trying to create that one-to-one SWR all the way down the line. But I generally speaking tend to tolerate something, certainly anything up to 2 to 1, I'm not unhappy with. And as I've just pointed out, even if it's at 3 to 1, it's still, certainly on the lower bands, it's still very acceptable, and even acceptable on 20 meters and above, the difference is still very, very small. So it's quite an interesting exercise to go through, and it's something that people don't always think about because they just naturally assume that unless you've got a one-to-one SWR, the antenna is not going to work. The antenna will work the same way. It's all about what happens from the feed point impedance down to your rig that you need to deal with. So that's about it for this episode. It's all been about SWR. Next episode, I'd really like to talk about some other versions of wire beams. I've personally been using a spider beam for quite a number of years and quite a few experiments on that. Just recently remodeled it. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode, and the results of that are quite interesting. But there's other forms of wire beam. There's a Moxon beam, which is very popular, and I've built Moxon beams for 40 meters, and I've modified the Moxon beam and just played around a little bit with the parameters on it to see what you can achieve. The Moxon beam is quite an interesting two element wire beam, because that's a very good front to back ratio. There's also the hex beam. Hex beam is quite popular. That's another two element wire beam. Now the Moxon beam and the hex beam are a little bit smaller than the spider beam. The spider beam is quite large, but it does give you the advantages of three elements on 20, three elements on 15, and four elements on 10. Whereas these other beams, the Moxon beam and the hex beam, are only two element type antennas. Nevertheless, they're worth a look at. They still give you some useful gain. They still lower the angle of radiation. All of those things are really important for working DX. So that just about wraps up this episode. You can subscribe to the podcast via Apple Podcasts or your app of choice, and maybe leave me a review, because that does help other people to try and find the show. So 73s for now from Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey.